US and European markets are on a downer today. This on the back of an increase of coronavirus infections, particularly in Europe, and markets are still digesting the shutting of the door on a further US stimulus package before the presidential elections on November the 3rd. Well, to discuss how they're seeing the global and local economic situation, I'm joined on the line by Lukman Otunuga. He's a research analyst at FXTM. Thanks very much for joining us, Lukman. So European markets do seem to be in the doldrums as a number of nations face a second round of waves of coronavirus. And it seems that despite the previous experience, the market is no more resilient than it was before.
Thank you for having me here today. Yes, it's a terrible day for European equities due to those rising coronavirus cases in Germany and France, and the fact that France has already declared a state of emergency while Germany's cases are accelerating is a major cause for concern. I remember this goes back to what we're saying about COVID being a health crisis, not a financial crisis, that has lasting psychological impacts on investor sentiment. I believe there's a high possibility of new measures being enforced in Europe, which may simply evaporate the recovery we've seen in the previous months. So European equities are likely to trade lower in the medium to longer term unless we have new signs of the ECB unleashing fresh stimulus measures.
So what's happening with the Brexit talks? I mean, I see that a lot is hinging on issues like whether the French fishermen will be able to have access to UK waters. I mean, they've been fishing in those waters for centuries. How's all of this impacting on the British pound?
Yeah, certainly. With Brexit, it looks like the season finale may be slowly coming to an end, with tomorrow being the last episode where PM Johnson will officially decide whether the UK will remain at the Brexit negotiation table. Yes, we have a lot of news and news flow around the France and the fishery, but let's be honest, this is not really about fish. The major issue here is that the European Union, what refers to as the late level playing field, wants the UK to do this, meaning that the EU wants the UK to adopt a legal framework and trade agreements that are similar to its own. And this is something that Boris Johnson is unlikely to agree with. So I think moving forward, we're going to see more uncertainty on the Brexit front, which is naturally negative for the British pound.
Yeah, so we're going to see a hard Brexit, a hard exit out of the euro.
It's looking like this unless that we have a last-minute deal between both sides. But as things stand right now, the UK is looking to a cliff-edge exit with the European Union by the end of 2020.
So with markets currently on a downer, there's a lot of risk aversion right now. What does this mean for emerging markets?
Yeah, certainly. Interesting to say about risk aversion. So this uncertain environment created by the lack of progress in negotiations between House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Treasury Secretary, that fiscal front is creating uncertainty. This uncertainty is boosting appetite for safe haven assets like the dollar. Now, a stronger dollar is bad news for emerging markets, especially those with higher dollar-denominated debt. So the combination of a stronger dollar and this uncertain market environment may draw investors away from risky emerging market assets to more safe destinations like bonds, the dollar, Japanese yen and gold.
Yeah, it's somewhat confusing because I know that a stronger dollar tends to be a turnoff for people piling into gold. But of course, there is risk aversion. So people do seem to be buying up gold again. And that's why we're seeing it up above $1,900 an ounce. What are the dynamics of the gold price right now?
Yeah, certainly. We see gold pushing higher now. But I just can't help but feel it's being the same old story with gold. And prices do remain range-bound despite that recent push higher. And it's the same narrative, same themes. You've got, you know, stimulus developments, rising coronavirus cases across the globe, sparking risk aversion. But investors are rushing towards the mighty dollar rather than gold. And we know that gold is inversely correlated to the dollar. So when the dollar appreciates, gold pushes lower. I think in the medium to longer term, the thing that's going to like allow gold to shine, outshine the dollar, is the fact that we are in an era of low to negative yields, and overall there's still uncertainty of the global economy. And finally, the Fed is allowing inflation to rise in the United States, which is good for the dollar, which is a hedge against inflation.
Now, we see relations between the United States and China still looking very precarious indeed, but we know that the Democrats and the Republicans are very different animals, but are they very similar in terms of their view of China? And if Biden were to win come November 3rd, we'll get the results a few days thereafter, do you think he'd deal with China differently? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, the way you deal with things is much better than just, you know, being a wrecking ball, as we've seen with Mr. Trump.
Certainly, I think from the get-go, a Biden win, especially to markets, has been seen as an outcome that may raise hopes of decreased protectionism against NATO allies and China as well, improving trade relations between the second, you know, U.S. economy and Chinese economy. Such a positive development could really bolster global sentiment, and, you know, it's good for emerging markets. But I think with things like this, nobody really knows, and we'll not know the answer until we know who the new president of the United States really is.
That's true enough. I don't know how much you managed to catch from President Cyril Ramaphosa today in terms of his economic reconstruction and recovery plan for the country. What's your feeling about it, if you did get to see any of it? And how do you see South Africa as a place of investment vis-a-vis other emerging markets?
I thought it was quite an optimistic speech. He's always good at really giving those optimistic speeches that give a good feeling inside. The government's targeting a 3% average growth over the decade by stimulating job growth, and the government plans to, you know, also support infrastructure investments. So it's good, but looking deeper into the speech, there was little detail provided on how the government plans to finance this ambitious goals. But I think this was the taster ahead of the delayed medium-term budget policy statement that is going to be published on the 28th of October. And I think this is the real deal here, because when it comes to South Africa's economic fundamentals, the numbers don't lie. You know, 2.2 million, were unemployed in the second quarter of 2020. And the central bank, you know, also expects GDP in 2020 to contract as much as 8%. So these are really, really worrying figures. So I think when that budget, you know, budget statement comes out in a few weeks, a lot of insight is going to be looked, because a lot needs to be done to support the South African economy, especially when we consider how it was struggling with its own trials before COVID-19. Just to end up here, looking at South African stocks, if you want a comparison, stocks are actually down 4% year to date. However, the largest economy in Africa, Nigeria, the stock markets are actually higher, roughly 6% year to date. So that's just a simple comparison. I think from an investment approach, though, I think the real answer would be once we have insights onto that medium-term policy statement speech in a few weeks' time. I think after that, we can probably really have an idea whether SA is appealing emerging market information.
Fair enough. Lukman, thank you so much for your time. As always, Lukman Otunuga, he's a research analyst at FXTM.